Blog Talk Radio. welcome to another edition of CB and the Boys. I am CB. Thought I'd kind of lull you guys tonight with some Art of Noise. You can't go wrong with Art of Noise. So I have my boys on the line. We've got George Holman, Roger Hawkins. It looks like Jay Lee has not joined us in the studio as of yet, but hopefully he will be on before the broadcast is over. So how are you guys doing tonight?
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing?
I am good. I'm good. We have a lot to talk about today. Have you guys been watching the hearings for the impeachment?
I've been catching little updates and excerpts and reviews of all the horse and pony shows. So it's a circus, of course.
Yeah, it's definitely a circus. That is for sure. And it's just really funny to me how the Republicans are trying to spin it like, he didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. It's legal. It's totally legal. When it's not. They're all in denial. It's just, it's crazy. It makes me wonder just how we could have regressed so far backwards that this country is just, it's full of hate. I don't understand. I really, really don't get it. It's bad.
I think it really boils down to, you know, who's dishing out the dirt versus who's receiving. It's who's going to benefit from this. So I always tell people, I don't think it's really about a party system in this country as much as people believe. It's just like yelling Democrat or yelling Republican, you can actually, you know, have something that's somewhat tangible to put your thumb on. It's really about, it's about money. You know, it's really about, you know, rich and poor, you know, the haves and the have-nots. And really what it boils down to now is the haves have found a voice in this, you know, maniac, and it tends to push their agenda. Now, what's even more interesting is that a lot of people that are in really disenfranchised places do show their, you know, overt racism just by allowing him to say do whatever, even though they too are suffering, you know, at the hands of all of this. But because, you know, ignorance is a whole lot more powerful in countries or in areas where you can just really lead people by straight racism, they don't even realize how bad of a situation that they're in, more, you know, like rural areas especially. You know, I have family that lives in areas like, you know, the Kentuckys and Arkansas and Alabamas, and not just being specific to them, but places like that where you already know they're kind of places that time forgot. And it's amazing how they'll keep on pushing for this guy. And if for no other reason than, you know, he's relatable to maybe someone they know or someone they recognize, and that's sad. Has nothing to do with right and wrong. That's what I think is so sad, you know, being on either side of the party system. And it's crazy. Because, again, you've got corrupt Republicans, corrupt Democrats. You've got good people on both sides as well. You've got people that are trying to help on both sides. Just like, you know, it's kind of like anything. There's nothing that's 100%. Look at law enforcement. Look at teachers. Look at anything across the board. You've got good and bad, and you have to be able to, you know, kind of discern, you know, the differences and not just make a blanket statement. But I will agree that on the whole, yes, one side does seem to be overwhelmingly supportive of him and what he does. And you take from that what you will, you know, based on history.
Well, it's just,
yeah,
it's mind-boggling.
It's a sad situation. I just checked the updates. I started out watching it when it started, and then it was just too ridiculous for me. And you know, I'm pretty much one of those people that just about avoid politics at all costs, because the conversation is just so many opinions, so many people's opinions and versions of everything, and then you don't know what's real and what's not, you know, coming from the media. You don't know what's been manipulated, what's been twisted, you know. So all I can do is cast my vote and stand back and wait for the aftermath.
Right.
So I pretty much just kind of, I don't even devote a whole bunch of time into it. I do just enough time to know what's happening and keep it moving.
you know that's interesting you said that, because what I think about when I listen to people now, I think most of us are of a similar mindset, so it's not difficult for us to talk. But you know what I think about when it comes to things like politics is the same to me a lot as religion and certain other hot key buttons, hot topics, because no matter what your argument is, it's really difficult to discuss it with someone who's very fervent about their particular view, especially if it's not what yours is. You know what I mean? Like convince somebody, convince anybody, if you will. I challenge you to change anyone's mind about how they feel, even if you can show them proof. You know, that's like if you're raised in a Christian household or a Muslim household or anything like that, I challenge you to convince me differently or someone else, because we are very narrow-minded about what we truly believe, right or wrong. People, you know, if in our minds we believe it with a lot of conviction, you're not going to change that, and that's kind of what tears this country apart, is our intolerance of a difference of opinion or a difference of belief, because these are things people really, really base, like, their lifestyle on, what they, you know, how they raise their children, what they spend their money on, what they're willing to fight and die for. It's pretty scary when you think about it. I mean, you've got to have something that you're really, really believing in. But, man, even if you're shown something different, people are unwilling to change on that just because. It's crazy, you know. They'll find a way to, you know, validate what happened, or they'll find a way to defend. And, again, look at what's going on just based on what the person looks like. You know, it's really scary, because what I've always thought was the reason, I mean, there's a million reasons why, but I feel like, you know, as a black man, I'm not going to get a fair shake in court of law. You want to know why? Because the majority of the judges don't look like I do, or like my father or my grandfather. But if you walk in there and you resemble that person's grandson or son or whatever, what do you think he's going to do? He's going to take a softer approach, because you remind him of, you could possibly be his grandson. So I look at it the same way with this. If, I mean, Barack Obama couldn't have gotten a damn jaywalking ticket without them crucifying him. And, I mean, he tried to do as much as he could do right in the amount of time he had. I mean, he told every line possible. I mean, the man did everything. And, again, not saying he's perfect, the perfect individual. I'm just saying from the standpoint of who makes you look good, who represents you properly, not just me, but everybody, you know, in this country, I think he probably did a bang-up job in that respect. But because a lot of the people I mentioned earlier don't look like him or have people that look like him around them, they don't care. They don't care what he did right. You know, to him, to them, he's still just, you know, he's still represented by what he looks like. Same here. You're defending all the illegal activity of this guy, even though none of his illegal activity is going to benefit 99% of the people that are fighting and getting into, you know, riots and rallies and things like that for him. Nothing that he's done is going to benefit them. They'll benefit him, but they'll still defend him because he looks like uncle, a grandfather, or a dad. It's really sad that, you know, the right thing to do takes a back seat, you know.
Hi, what is that noise?
That's me going to get gas. you know I'm back in Cali.
Are you putting out fire?
Yeah. Right. You did say that last week that
I got my big hose in the back. Yeah, man, I got my big hose in the back, and I'm driving with my hat on.
I guess we're gonna miss Jay Lee this week.
Yeah, maybe his phone is still messed up and his microphone, and he's not gonna be able to join us tonight, but you never know. So, that being said, so I want to know, if you guys were walking along and you found a bag full of money, what would you do? Because it seems that a Brinks truck was robbed, and the money was basically kind of strewn all over the place. And people, some of the money is still missing. So if you were one of the lucky ones to find that wad of cash, would you return it? Because some dummies did return it. So what would you guys do in that situation?
Oh, I don't think that takes too much guesswork. honestly, you know, we've heard this story a few times, you know, historically about that. You know, you're going to, again, some people are going to turn it in, other people are not. I would venture to say that for most of us, we're all going to be like, maybe I'll hold out at least to see if they offer a little bit of a reward, you know, best case scenario. But, you know, based on how the majority of people think, even if they don't own up to it, you know it's not going back. It's like, man, I found a bag full of money. Listen, where do I turn in this $113? Because the rest of it can. That's just me being honest. I don't think I probably would, considering how long I've been paying taxes. But I'm not a proponent of you know, theft or anything like that. Like I said, I don't steal from people. I don't rob and do things like that. I've had things taken from me, but you know, it is what it is. But yeah, if you go, hey, I'm walking along and I just really legitimately find that, hey, it's insured. I'm not giving it back.
I was going to say, I mean, I don't steal. I'm not a thief. But if I'm walking along and I found a bag of money, fell off the back of a truck, I'm not going to guarantee that I'm going to give it back. I mean, I'm just saying. That falls in it. You know, that goes all the way back to elementary days. Finders, keepers, losers, weepers.
Right.
But, you know, I might sit on it for a minute and watch the news. But other than that, I'm not going to run to the bank and be like, hey, is this yours?
Right. If they make a mistake with some money, they don't sure break their neck to call themselves out on it, do they? They don't go, hey, we know you did, do they? Exactly. So,
matter of fact, if they make a mistake, they will call you and make you pay for it.
Right. If somebody gets you, I mean, like, I will say, you know, I bank, you know, one of the banks that I do bank with is pretty cool about that when it comes to fraud protection, things like that. But, I mean, I can think it back several years where they pretty much were like, yo, you just SOL if that happens. I mean, you know, and I know a lot of people can't, hell, no, not too many people can afford to have a bunch of bounce checks and overdraft fees and things like that. Man, that alone will send you upside down for a long haul. You know,
exactly.
$5 over, and then you got a $33 fee, and then any other transaction after that, man, before you know it, you're negative $200-$300 in the hole. We've all seen, you know, our account drop drastically. Go, what happened? And they go, well, you know, that pack of gum or whatever, you know, did it. So,
right.
I don't envy anybody in any position, but and since they don't care, you know what? I'm like you, G. I just keep. Like I said,
right.
It's insured. I mean, quite frankly, it is. It's insured. So
I remember an incident years ago. I mean, this is like at least 25 years. I went to the bank. I had like $5 in the bank. I deposited $40. The teller deposited $400. I got the receipt. And I wasn't paying no attention. I'm driving down the street. And I happened to glance down at the receipt, and I said, what? I went right to the ATM and took out $400. You know, if they had the nerve to call me, I took that $400 out, left that $5 in there.
Mm-hmm.
They had the nerve to call me like a week later. We made a mistake. You deposited $40, and I tell her deposited $400. We're going to need you to bring that back. I was like, what are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
It was like, well, we know we made the mistake, so I'm going to need you to either bring that back or we're going to have to close your account.
Wow.
$5, baby. Go ahead. You know, so I'm saying, let me walk up on that bag of cash. You know, call me wrong if you want to, but I'm just saying, if it walks like a duck,
right.
Like a duck, sounds like a duck, it's probably a duck. And I'm gonna be quiet all the way to the shoebox.
Okay.
Because I saw him in the closet in the bank.
Yeah, it happens all the time, believe it or not. I mean, it is human error. People do it. And I can't remember, someone mentioned to me once, I can't remember who's responsible. Is it the teller? Because it's actually their mistake. And, of course, you know, they'll try to figure out a way to make you liable because, you know, it's money. But, again, stuff like that does happen all the time. It really does. Way more prevalent than you would think. So,
yeah.
You know, they can cover for it, but. The problem is we've all watched Dead Presidents and every other movie where Goodfellas and all that, where they're out there, you know, balling out, and then, you know, you get yourself stung. Now, again, I'm not a professional criminal, but I would venture to say that's probably not the right idea if you found a bag of money to all of a sudden have a car and certain things that you don't normally have. So that's probably not a good look either. You know, if you're struggling today and then all of a sudden, you know, you're balling out tomorrow and buying stuff, you're going to probably incriminate yourself pretty quickly.
Yeah, just as well.
I would say so. You can walk up to the bank or the police station with that bag of cash, too, talking about you found this. And the first thing they're going to say is, where'd you find it? In the truck?
Right.
This thing you know, they're trying to put handcuffs on you.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This is true. I think it's still a problem. We'd all be like, you know what? I'd welcome that problem to have. But think about it. It ain't no different than when a truck full of Nikes flips over. You think they're looking at everybody's feet that are wearing them? You know, Thanksgiving turkeys or whatever, they chalk that up. Now, I will say it's a little different in that money has serial numbers on it, but point being, when that happens, they pretty much chalk it up. They go, well, there goes that shipment of Jordans or turkeys or whatever that flips over. So, you know, what's really the difference?
That is true. So that being said, in my opinion, I must say, I agree with you guys, I definitely would not bring it back. Like we said, finders, keepers. And, you know, that's that. End of story. That is it. End of story. So how have you guys' week been going with this being Wednesday, you know, with a midweek motivator? How's the first beginning of your week, and how was your last week, and how was that? Did you guys watch the Chiefs game Monday? We won. Yay.
Absolutely. I was on the end of my seat, sweating. I'm going to have to start taking some time.
Why are
you mad? I'm mad because I'm getting tired of sitting on the end of the seat every week. They're going to make me have a heart attack. Every game they have you biting nails. Oh, I'm running out of fingernails.
Yeah, I did not watch it, actually. I was on the road again, but I did get the updates. I did hear we won, so, you know, good deal on that. I just I worry because I have to look at it. I don't know. I don't want to set myself up for a letdown, so I'm looking at it from the standpoint of, you know, every W is good, but, again, like most Chiefs fans, I can't look too far down the road because too many pieces are missing. We've been heartbroken too many times. So I'm just going to take it. I'm just going to take it in stride, one day at a time. Whatever happens, happens.
That's all you can do.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I definitely agree with that because right now in the condition of our team, it's just it's we got too many flags against us. Now, what we have left on the season, you know, are definitely winnable games. But come playoff time, the whole everything changes. Everything changes at that point.
Exactly.
And we got too many missing pieces or handicapped pieces. And I'm gonna be honest, I just don't see us getting past that. If we do great, I would love for us to. But I don't see us getting past that.
Yeah, because I agree. They're barely eking out these wins now. So imagine what's going to happen when other teams turn up the heat, you know, or you know, somebody may be a little more healthy and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of that makes a difference. It all makes a difference.
Yeah.
And again, I still, you know, I think last year a lot of people wanted to believe, oh, we were right there, but no, I just feel like we're a little too far away right now to claim that, hey, we're going to jump out there and make that run. I'd love to see it happen. I don't know how long we even want to ride this because if they don't get the pieces in play, pretty much this year it's a wrap because I guarantee you Mahomes won't be in Kansas City in 2 years without it. He won't.
Mm-hmm.
He absolutely won't. And he shouldn't be. But his dad is not about to let his son get out there and get torn apart because we don't have the necessary personnel to, you know, to get this done. And that's kind of the big that's kind of the big takeaway. You're not gonna hurt my son, no matter how electrifying he is to watch. You know,
right.
Because we can't defend him. So.
Right. If they can't figure something out, in the next couple seasons, they might as well cancel Christmas on him. Once his contract is gone.
Well, he said that previously he said he wanted to retire a Chief because he loves Kansas City. He loves the fans. He said there's nothing like this in the world. So I'm hoping that
players say that.
Well,
yeah.
I'm hoping that he does retire a Chief. I mean, he is exciting to watch. He's young, and he has a long career ahead of him. But if they keep letting him get hit and hurt, it's not going to last very long. And that part definitely worries me, you know. I'm sure it worries you guys, too.
Tony Gonzalez. Same thing, exact same thing. Tony wanted to retire Chief. He didn't want to go anywhere else. But after a decade of being the whole offense, we had Priest and a lot of guys along the way, but I mean, after being there that long and not having the support needed to make a run, it gets old because, like you just said about Patrick, he's young, he's energetic, he's blah, 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 blah. Now, wait 4 to 5 years. He'll still be great. But some of the things we do when we're young, think about when you were young, you jumped out of bed, you ran, you did whatever, nothing hurt. That's going to change. And if he's not being protected, rest assured he'll go somewhere where they will protect him. I mean, because the one thing we know, you're not going to be young forever. So, you know, but he's fantastic. But that window will close. And then when all of the trick plays go out the door as far as using his legs and all that, now what do you have? And again, things hurt a little more.
Yeah.
So I agree he wants to be there, we absolutely love, adore, and they want the guy, but prove it by protecting him, prove it by putting the pieces in play. And again, that's not a knock on him or the guys that are there. It's just saying, you know, we're still a little ways away, but we don't have a lot of time. He's at the end of his rookie contract. Watch how things change. I promise you. Watch how things and negotiations and whatnot change. I personally believe he'll be the first $200 million player.
I can see that.
You know,
oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, I mean, all directions point toward that. They all point towards it. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing, too, is if we, because if we don't ring in, if we can't ring in a Super Bowl with him soon,
mm-hmm.
we ain't going to be able to pay him.
No.
What he's
right.
Paid. Right. You know, we're not going to be able to, because that salary cap is going to kill us. We ain't going to be able to fill in other slots.
Well, here's the thing. Hunt has the money. I mean, his dad had more money than King Tut. But it's about, you know, it's just, KC's always a conservative town when it comes to athletes and money. We always have been. We always will be. But you're right. They still have to make a lot of room, a lot of wiggle room, you know, with player extensions and cap dollars and things like that. But, you know, like anything, it can all be worked around with incentives and signing bonuses, XX and O. So, that, believe it or not, that'll be the least of our worries, getting him that money. And he's well worth it. Just in what he's done
mm-hmm.
in the past 2 years, he's already worth it. So nobody will scoff at the idea of him getting $200 million. But, again, like you said, we've definitely got to still pay these big-time players to produce on all sides of the field, not just him. He's one man out of the 11 that are on the field at any given time, and one man
mm-hmm.
just cannot do it. So,
go ahead.
Yeah, and that only goes so far because the lockdown comes in the playoffs. Everything changes, you know. I mean, it's a whole new
mm-hmm.
season, like they say. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing what he does and what his career does. I hope it is in KC. But, like I said, without these critical puzzle pieces, you don't really have a picture.
Mm-hmm. And that is true. You know, sad but true. And it definitely gives one cause to worry because, in this case, we have to think about the future and the future of Kansas City and just where we stand, you know, in the NFL. Like, they favorited us to go to the Super Bowl. And the way we've been playing, I mean, don't get me wrong. Go ahead.
I think that went out the door maybe week six. I'm not going to say some people don't still believe it, but look how quickly that S on our chest faded from last year. We ended the season on a pretty high note. And then we kind of rolled back in. He picked up right where he left off, which is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
But the games we lost that we shouldn't have, the close games that didn't need to be, all of that, I guarantee you that you know, the star meter got a little more dim. And I think anybody
mm-hmm.
with a pulse can recognize now, like, yeah, maybe they're not where we anticipated them being. And so if you were to go back and re-poll, I don't think
mm-hmm.
you would see nearly as big of a percentage saying, yeah, they're going to go to the playoffs or the Super Bowl. We just need to get deep in the playoffs. We need to take baby steps. We have not been out of the second round. I can't even think of the last time in my lifetime we even looked like going close. I mean, we were in the bowl at, what, 69 was the last time? Or was it 71? Yeah, when we played Minnesota. We played it or not. Hell, I can't remember.
71, I think it was.
But again, think about it.
71.
Yeah, I think, because I know we won Super Bowl four. But the point is, these guys, everybody, it's the same running joke. We can't even make it out of the first round of the playoffs. Even when everything overwhelmingly points at us to do so, we find a way. It's like, I don't know. It's almost like one of those curses they talk about in pro sports. So until we make it, you know, beyond that, it's kind of hard to talk Super Bowl, everything all in one fell swoop. Would love to see it happen, but just realistically, I think we're a little ways away. And I just hope we get there before he makes up his mind to go elsewhere. Because somebody will offer him that $200 million if we don't. And I know a lot of teams that'll blow their whole wad on him to do it. You know, Dallas has no problem giving that kind of money, no matter how bad. You know, Oakland will, no matter how bad they stink. It's a lot of teams out there that are throwing that money with no hesitation, you know.
Because they know what he can do.
Everybody knows. there is no secret to that. So here's hoping. That's all I can say. Here's hoping.
Right. Definitely. It's just it's just so frustrating. You know, one thing I'm noticing too, like when you're watching football, they're just like taking the fun out of football. Like, part of watching a sporting event, you know, is being able to talk trash to your opponent. And they can't even do that. It's like a $10,000 fine that they celebrate after making a touchdown. And I think that's so unfair. I mean, what's the point of making a touchdown if you can't celebrate?
Well, if they over-celebrate, nevertheless, I agree with that to a certain extent. I mean, I understand what they're trying to do. I mean, the athletic ability of these gentlemen now versus 20, 30 years ago has progressed, and the damage that can take place, you know, they're learning from experience. They're looking at all those old stars like Larry Zonka, who can barely see and barely walk anymore. Matter of fact, I think he might have passed finally or something. But, you know, I don't know if you know who that is, but Larry Zonka was the running back for the 1972 Miami Dolphins. 1972 Miami Dolphins went undefeated.
Yep.
They didn't lose not a single game and won a Super Bowl.
Not one?
They
really?
Didn't lose not one game. They didn't
wow,
lose
so they had a perfect season.
Yeah, had a perfect season.
I was hoping that we would have a perfect season, and it didn't happen.
Yeah, good luck at that.
So many of these old superstars are so banged up, they can barely live their lives now. So this is what they're trying to protect. And they really are trying to protect the livelihood of the player. What's the point of playing 10, 15 years in the NFL, making all this money, you have millions and millions of dollars, and then when you retire, you can't do nothing because you're a vegetable laying in the bed with a bedside nurse for the rest of your life.
What?
You see what I'm saying? So that's where all these rules come in place. And then when you have the whole concussion thing, I mean, they made the whole movie about that. That was a true story.
Yeah.
You know, the one with Will Smith played in, what was the name of it?
Concussion.
Yeah, concussion. You're right. There is a name of it. But, you know, they have situations like that come up, you know. So that's why they dump all this money into these helmets now. You know, it's costly, but they're trying to protect the physical life of these players. You know, so I get it. I understand all the rules. And then some of the rules are to help make the game more exciting and keep
but
it from being outdrawn long. You'd be surprised the difference some of these rules are made. I remember when halftime was 30 minutes. It was a half an hour.
Yeah.
A half time. You know?
It should be.
But they changed that. You know? Now it's 15 minutes. You know? You had an extra 5 minutes Monday because of the stadium that we were in and that situation. They had an extended halftime. Because
some
players had to walk up two flights to get to the locker room. It was a long walk to the locker room. You know,
that's
but
crazy.
But, you know, as time progresses and time and things change, they have to find a way to make things different and make things, keep it competitive, you know, keep things more competitive.
Sure.
There's a lot of rules they change. There's a lot of rules they change to create more scoring, which was very successful. I remember mm-hmm. where it was unheard of. I remember when it was unheard of to score 21 points in a football game.
Right.
Now, scoring 41 points is normal.
It's crazy, isn't it? Well, I think they are trying to speed. They are trying to keep the speed of the game up a lot so that it doesn't lax. Because, again, people's attention spans aren't very long anymore. People want to see high flying. It's not the old grinded out kind of a game. But I agree with a lot of the changes in terms of safety. But safety versus celebration is different. I think that's another issue of, you know, some people love it. Other people don't because they're just saying, you know, oh, it's unnecessary showboating or it's not needed for the game. So it's a business. It is entertainment. But, you know, these guys, you know, you have different schools of thought. These guys have a job to do. Let them do their job, blah, blah, blah. Other people say, hey, you know, they're putting their work in. Let them play a little bit. But you have to find a happy medium. It's like anything. There's always going to be people that are going to take it too far, and that creates a change for everybody. It's kind of like the honor system. If you let people clock in and everybody clocks in and does their thing, it's fine. But there will always be people that will come along and abuse it, leave or have someone clock in and work for them, and now they have to, you know, take that away. So it's kind of like that with the celebration. I think they want that excessive out the way. But I agree, George, from a safety standpoint, I mean, yeah, there's no point. These guys are, you know, they're like, it's like head-on collisions with trucks nowadays. You have guys that are bigger, stronger, faster than ever, and could you imagine being in the midst of that? Like, it used to be a 250 or 60-pound guy couldn't run nearly as fast as they do now. These guys did not have the muscle mass and the body types that they have now. The damage that can be inflicted, I'm here to tell you, it's no joke. Even from the running backs, everybody is just, the physicality of this game is through the roof. Like George said, 20 or 30 years ago, you would have never encountered this kind of stuff. But now, again, it's like a bunch of, you know, small trucks and cars out there hitting one another. So, yeah, I agree. Right. The equipment needs to be better. And there needs to be more. And, I mean, look at people like, you know, like Junior Seau and even Hernandez, who was in prison, and guys like that. They show massive, you know, brain trauma over the years, and it created, you know, multiple personality and physical psychological side effects. So, you know, I'm all for making it safer because, you know, again, these collisions are getting more violent. Now, I would love that we're going to have a discussion about that 72 Dolphins team one day, George. Today's not the day because I have a school of thought on that. I have a mindset that I believe, and that'll be fun. I know Crystal's kind of on the outs on that because she didn't understand that they were the only perfect team. But anyway, you just reminded me of that when you named them. But that'll be a fun one. That'll be a fun show.
Well, it's like, you know, as far as I'm concerned, there is no other team. But the Chiefs. So, yeah, I don't really know a lot about the other ones because the only one that I pretty much follow and support is our Chiefs. As far as I'm concerned, there are no other teams.
And that's fine from a standpoint, you know, from the standpoint of a fan, that's perfectly fine. I actually was a player, and I'm sure some of the fellas played at some point in their life. I mean, you know, we followed, you know, from a different standpoint, but it's a good debate about, you know, that quote unquote term perfect and things like that. Just getting into, you know, as much as I hate to say it, the politics of football. But again, another story for another day. It'll be a fun one, and you'll still learn some stuff that'll be intriguing, even though it's not Chiefs related.
Gotcha. So, have you guys seen any good movies lately? Bueller.
Right. I think you already know what my comment is going to be on that. I have not. I don't get an opportunity to do that much. So, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff that comes out, but I'm thinking, like, is there anything out there that's really compelling me to go watch it now? And then being that, you know, we're kind of old and cranky, I don't like to go when all the other folks are there, young people in the middle of the, you know, the whole place talking, things like that. See, I realize we all get like that as we get older. At least I do. I'd much rather wait. If there's a movie I want to watch and go in the middle of the week when I know there aren't going to be a lot of people there so I can enjoy it, signs, question, color commentary, phone calls, all this extraneous crap. Did I sound old and angry?
Well, I can definitely tell you that the last film that I saw recently was Dr. Sleep, which was a film based on the Stephen King novel, Dr. Sleep. It basically is kind of giving us an insight as far as what happened to little Danny from The Shining after Jack Nicholson went crazy and Ted killed him and his mother. So it's a really good movie. It's directed by Mike Flanagan. And, of course, it is based on the book Dr. Sleep by Stephen King. It's an all-star cast with Ewan McGregor, Rebecca Ferguson, Carl Lumley. And it's good to see Carl Lumley acting. I don't know if you guys are familiar with him, but he has been acting for many years. He's like a legend. He's married to Vonette McKee. And it's good to see him on the big screen again. And newcomer Kylie Curran, she was exemplary in this film. Her acting was amazing, and she was on point. And I can say that this young lady will have a nice, long career ahead of her because she is just amazing. Bruce Greenwood is also in the film, and he's been acting for quite some time. Now, Rebecca Ferguson was in The Greatest Showman with Hugh Jackman and Michelle Williams, and she was a really good actress, too. So the film is really good. It's basically where Danny ever said he has, I guess you could say, like, The Shining is what they consider, like when someone's a medium and they can pick up on the paranormal and the supernatural and things, and you can see ghosts and images. And what he learns in the book and in the film is how to hone in his powers, how to accept them, because when something happens, sometimes it's just inevitable and you can't run from yourself. And these powers are something that are a part of him. So not to give the movie away, but it's a really great film. It's I wouldn't say that it's scary. So all of you who don't like scary films or think Stephen King books are too scary, it's not. This is more of a psychological thriller. It definitely pulls you in, and it does not let you go until the very end. There's a mini twists and turns in this film, but it's amazing. And the special effects are just bar none. I've not seen special effects like that in a long time. It kind of reminds you of the Matrix special effects, kind of, in some parts of the film. So if you like action, if you love psychological thrillers, films that make you think, then definitely this film is for you. Another film I definitely recommend is Knives Out. It's an all-star cast. Jamie Lee Curtis is even in this film. So she's been doing quite a few movies since Halloween, which also is a very good film. So I definitely recommend that one as well. But Knives Out is good. It kind of reminds you of Clue or Murder on the Orient Express, films that are comedy, but kind of dark comedy. So Chris Evans is in it. It's an all-star cast. It's a great film. So you guys will definitely enjoy that. Also opening on Friday is Frozen 2. Now, Frozen, did you guys see Frozen, first of all?
No.
Yeah, come on now.
Not my speed. Not my speed.
Well, every kid in my family did, so I could probably get caught. I could get caught up pretty quickly.
Well, the long-awaited sequel to Frozen, and critics say, word has it, that it's even better than the first. So I'm anxious to see that, which I will be checking that film out tomorrow before it is released on Friday. So I will let you guys know for sure next week what to expect. But Frozen does open on Friday, the 22nd. So everyone has just been really excited about this. I've seen some of the interviews from the cast, and all of the cast is back reprising their roles with some new characters as well. So it's going to be a great time at the movies. So you definitely want to take the kids out to see that. So those are the films that are out. Also opening is Bridges with Chadwick Boseman. And, of course, you guys know what a great actor Chadwick Boseman is. So 21 Bridges also starts on Friday. So I would definitely recommend supporting that film for sure. There's just so many really –
Yeah, I've been checking that out. I saw the previews. I got to check it. I got to support my man, Chad.
Well, they say that the manhunt of the century is now the thrill ride of the fall. So that's what the critics are saying about it so far. So I'm definitely going to check that out as well tomorrow, and I will give you guys a lowdown on that on next week. But it's also an all-star cast as well. So I think you guys will definitely enjoy that. Now, while I was at the Dr. Sleep showing, I did notice that there is a film that is coming out with Jamie Foxx. And, oh gosh, I forgot his name that fast. The one who played Creed. He has a movie coming out with Jamie Foxx. Michael B. Jordan, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the name of it is called Just Peace. And it looks like it's going to be amazing. And when I say amazing, I mean amazing. From the previews, I could see that the acting is exemplary. And it is just, it's one that's going to be a tearjerker for sure. It's going to be a great film, and I'm really looking forward to it. And
no.
I was trying. Mm-hmm.
When is that scheduled? When is that scheduled to come out?
Okay, Just Peace is scheduled to come out. Let me check that right quick. Also, The Good Liar is coming out. It's already out in theaters, so it's playing with Helen Mirren and Ian McKellen. So, so that one's already out in theaters.
Okay.
I'm trying to look up the Just Peace movie, and I am not. Oh, I'm sorry. It's not Just Peace. I was wrong. It's called Just Mercy. So, my bad. Bye, guys. All right. So.
He gave me something to look forward to. Might check out one of those. Got to support my artist.
Yeah, Just Mercy comes out Christmas Day. December 25th. So if you're bored after opening all those wonderful gifts, I would suggest everyone definitely check out Just Mercy. It's a 2019 American legal drama. It's directed by Destin Daniel Cretton and starring Michael B. Jordan, Jamie Foxx, Rob Morgan, Tim Blake Nelson, Walter McMillan. It's also, there's some newcomers in the film, but it's for the most part an all-star cast as well. It's a good film. And from what I'm seeing when I saw in the previews, I'm definitely going to go see that for sure, without a doubt. It shadows world-renowned civil rights defense attorney.
Let me throw this in there.
Mm-hmm. Civil rights
now,
attorney Brian Stevenson. And
you got.
Uh huh. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I thought you finished.
Oh no, go ahead. What were we gonna say?
Well, you know, they have this. You know, you got the big screen, of course, but
mm-hmm.
you can't forget about the new things going on. And all the movies that come out that aren't big screen. I'll tell you
okay.
a movie that if you haven't seen, you need to see it.
Okay.
And it is a Netflix movie, a Netflix original.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called American Son.
Hmm.
If you haven't seen this movie,
mm-hmm.
you need to go see it. I give it two thumbs up and two big toes up. Just, and here's what's crazy. Let me tell you, this movie's
mm-hmm.
got four actors.
Right.
Four. The name of four people in the movie. And the whole movie is shot in one room.
Huh.
And I guarantee you, at the end of it, it's going to jerk your chair. Throughout the movie, you will hit every emotion that you have. You'll get touched. And I'm going to tell you this, everybody in the movie is wrong, and everybody in the movie is right.
Hmm.
And that's the most I'm going to tell you. Whoever came up with this concept, that's a co-writer.
Mm-hmm.
They wrote the heck out of this movie, and the acting is not bad at all.
Hmm.
There's some good acting in it. And I'm telling you, you ain't seen that movie, then you need to go see it immediately. Log in the Netflix.
Okay.
America's Son.
That
is
I'm
a bad boy.
Out. I'm definitely going to check that out.
And it's going to, I mean, when I say it's so real, it's
mm-hmm.
reality. It is reality at its best. And it's going to throw you for so many loops. You're going to be like, huh? Oh, really? For real? I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. I couldn't imagine being captured in a movie like this and just absolutely stuck all the way through. You know?
Wow.
Four actors,
mm-hmm.
four actors, one room. Who does that? Does that? Yeah, one scene. One room. And
that's
I mean,
interesting.
It's put together. Let me tell you something. The last time a movie jerked a tear from me, and I've seen a lot of them, the last time one actually jerked a full-fledged tear
mm-hmm.
was E.T. The original, not the remake, the original, when it first came out, went to
mm-hmm.
the big screen and watched it. That dirt to tear. An actual
wow.
tear. The next movie
wow.
that ever came close, or next movie that even came close to jerking the tear, was a true based on a true story. It's a movie called 8 Seconds, and
huh.
it stars Luke Perry, and it's a true story based on a bull rider, the youngest bull riding champion in history.
And
that movie, it jerked on the tier. It didn't fall. It didn't fall. But it jerked.
It didn't fall. Make no mistake about it. It got close, but it didn't fall.
But just 8 seconds, I mean, American Son, by the end of American Son, here's what's crazy about it. I watched it, told my wife about it, and we both watched it again together, and it still jerked a tear.
Wow.
Hey, that's serious. That's serious right there.
I knew what was going to happen. Because I'm watching it the second time in a row, the very next day. I'm watching it the very next day with the wife.
Wow.
She was asleep when I watched it. So she got off work the next day. We watched the movie again. So I'm freshly just watched this movie, and I watched it again, and still jerked the chair. And I knew what was going to happen. That's how strong this storyline is. And what's so crazy is it's reality. It's something that we see every single day.
Wow.
Somebody took one scenario and put so much thought in it and brought it onto the screen. And I can't tell you nothing else but to just go watch it.
Wow.
Right. You sold us, George. You sold us.
Yeah. I have to check that out now. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. I will definitely check that out and let you know once I've seen it. That, wow. To invoke that much passion in you. I mean, like, wow.
I definitely must see this film. You watch that movie, you'll probably be calling me by the time, as soon as you get to the end of it. You'll be calling me to talk about it.
Wow, that's deep. Wow. Well, if you're just tuning in, you guys are listening to CB and the Boys. I'm CB, and we got my boys. Hey, boys.
Hey. Hey, Miss Parker.
Right.
Now, one thing about this show, for all you listening out there, we want you to start sending in your music so that we can showcase your music on our show as well. So you can send in your music to cbandtheboys2019@gmail.com. Just send us your tracks, and we will play your song on the music and let you know what we think. So get your feedback and find out if you got it or if you don't got it. So again, that's cbandtheboys2019@gmail.com. And also, if you need advice about love, money, or you don't ask me about money because mine just says goodbye. Because that's what mine says. You know, they say money talks, so mine just says bye-bye. But if you guys need advice on love, money, family, parenting, whatever, feel free to drop us a line. Also, the same email, cbandtheboys2019@gmail.com. And for all those of you that are hooked on phonics, that is CB. C as in cat, B as in boy. And the boys, that is ANDTHE, B as in boy, OYZ as in zebra, 2019@gmail.com. So that being said, we're going to play you guys a little bit of music. We are going to definitely take you back. I mean, way back. Now, you guys remember Immature, right?
Yep.
Bueller.
Yeah.
Bueller.
Yeah, my sister.
Well, we got some Immature and Extra Extra.
I thought that was
read all about
you will never
know.
All right, and we are back. What do you guys think of Immature and Extra Extra? Does that bring back some memories? Did y'all make some babies to that song?
I did not. That was actually more my my younger sister's little era. She was into Immature when I was in college. I liked a few of them, though. You know, I liked a few of those joints. So, yeah. I thought you were here for Feel the Funk or something like that, you know, when they really first started.
I hadn't heard that one.
Well, oh, you've heard that. It was when they were way young. You've heard it, trust me. Mm-hmm. Was like the adolescent Immature. Like, Feel the Funk was like prepubescent. For sure.
Well, it definitely took me back. Definitely, definitely, definitely. Speaking of music, was that in the 90s? Well, because I graduated in 1990.
That had to be 90, probably, man, I'd say 97, 98 on that one. Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, because the twins were born in 98.
Yeah, it had to be somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to tell you. Yep. Some of y'all are getting old.
Some of them are. Like fine wine, I just get better with time, so I don't even claim the old thing. I don't even know what that is. Old? What is that? I don't know.
Yeah, whenever I say that, I'm like, yeah, I'm like fine wine, expensive. I ain't old, damn it.
Yes, I am expensive.
it's a state of mind for the most part. It really is.
This is true.
Now, what's crazy is I've encountered that after a certain period, you begin to take better care of yourself. Like, for instance, young people don't feel like they have to. Again, that's on their chest and the whole nine. But older people tend to, you know, and I say once you hit about 30, you begin to realize, oh, hey, you know, things are creaking a little bit and stuff. And it's like you pick back up because, like, that age frame between, like, 18 and 28, 30, you know, you're pretty much impervious. So you don't really do anything but just, you know, live like a cannonball. And then lo and behold, you wake up one day and go, I should probably slow down. And that's when I realized people began to work on their strength and endurance and healthy and eating and things like that. It's really kind of weird, you know, how physically you take a little bit of a dip just from the standpoint of what you do to take care of yourself because it's natural. And then you shoot back up when you kind of recognize your own mortality, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, sometimes it takes, you know, losing someone close to you. Like when I lost my dad, that was the worst time of my life. I miss him every day. That's something you never get over because I don't think you're ever prepared to lose a parent. And losing my dad put a lot of things into perspective in my life. A lot of things. So I live each day as if it were going to be my last, and I don't trip over the small trivial things, you know, and really life is a journey that is supposed to be explored and enjoyed, you know, it really is. And go ahead.
I couldn't agree more. I do think that for the most part, everybody at some point, you either have or you're going to experience that. But I would like to think that I don't necessarily wait until things, because you're right. You know, I think we both lost parents. I mean, I lost all of mine, but it's one of those. I think about what happens with young people and people our age demographic and things like that, where I've seen people my age, younger, that, you know, suffer strokes or heart attacks or debilitating things, and it blows my mind because I'm like, that's my peer, that's my contemporary. And I agree with you when you say, you know, trying to live each day, you know, you try to live for each day. I do live, like, you know, carefully, but I live every day like it's my last, at least to the fullest of my potential on that particular day. I don't want to look back and say, oh, I wish I would have yesterday at 3 p.m. I'm just going to, you know, I'm kind of going to go for it because you really don't know.
Exactly.
So I think that mindset kicks in with a lot of us. I really do.
Mm-hmm. Well, that being said, it looks like our hour is done, guys. It went by fast, did it not? Do you guys have any parting words for our listeners for this week?
I think I'll kick in with, you know, like we just got through saying, you know, hey, live every day like it was your last. And also, send in movie suggestions to make George jerk some tears. But, yeah, everybody be cool.
Hey,
all right.
Thank you for coming. And I enjoyed myself. I hope you enjoyed us. And have a good night. Until next time.
All right. Well, on a high note, I before we go, I want to say shout out to Korean pop sensation BTS, and they are just a fabulous group. I think it is really sad that they didn't get the Grammy nominations that they had hoped for, that we all had hoped for. Because yes, y'all, I am a part of the BTS army and proud of it. Okay. And I found out I'm not the only person in my age range that, you know, is a BTS supporter. So that was a relief because I didn't want to be, you know, the old chick in the room. You know what I mean? So that being said, and really, you should never call a woman a chick. So let me rephrase that. I didn't want to be the old, beautiful woman in the room. So that being said, just shout out to BTS. You guys, don't let it discourage you. You have so much talent. Your music is amazing, and your message is so positive and wonderful. So we're going to end the show tonight with a BTS song, the one that was nominated at the Billboard Awards and the one that won. It was their collaboration with American singing star Halsey. So, and it's called Boy With Love. So, again, BTS, you guys are wonderful, talented. Don't be discouraged that you didn't get the Grammy nominee this year. You're going to get nominated. You're going to get a Grammy. You guys are going to have something even better than a Grammy. So we had a great year. You had a great year. And here is to more wonderful, great years to come together. So shout out to BTS. Love you guys. And here is Boy With Love. So you guys have a great rest of your work week, and we will see you next week, same time, same station, Blog Talk Radio. This is CB, CB and the boys, and we're out. So here's BTS, Boy With Love. Enjoy.
time on top, no, yeah. One got some question, I can't mind the body, no, that number. Oh, no, I'm not sure. I got it. Hey, hey, more than get took, but I see. Hey, 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 hey,
Let me fly.